Deutschlandfunk. Sport.
Mr. Parsons, a couple of days before the start of the Winter Paralympics in Beijing 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. Initially, the athletes of Russia and Belarus were allowed to compete under the IPC banner, but one day later, both countries were then banned. From today's point of view, how do you look back on these days?
Well, it was certainly the most difficult days I have faced as president of the IPC or as a sport administrator in the last 26 years. So the day I left Brazil, as I'm Brazilian, to go to Beijing, it was the day of the invasion. So it was very close to the opening ceremony of our games. And of course, we had to face unprecedented situation there with the detail that Russian and Belarusian athletes were already there in Beijing. So that was a very complicated situation. And we needed to follow our constitution and what the board could decide at the time. And what the board could decide at the time was go for the neutral solution. But then because of our decision, many national Paralympic committees and even governments, they were thinking in boycotting the games. So the games were at risk. And with the games at risk, then we could make the decision to, let's say, not accept the entries. That was the let's say, technically what we did, to not accept entries from Russia and Belarus. Of course, the athletes were already there, which made things even more complicated. We were in a country that it's politically aligned with Russia, so that made things even more complicated. But of course, we analyze a lot what we did in Beijing and how we can do things better in the future. If, of course, we don't want this to happen, but if a similar crisis happens in the future, if we would react in the same way, what we can do differently. So after these games, for example, we already changed a few articles in our constitution to allow, to give more, let's say, ability to the IPC governing board to make decisions on the spot in similar situations. So, you know, we only do what our constitution allows us to do. So now we have changed it. But of course, we know that the situation in Ukraine has not, it's still the same, you know, 1 year on, and we're still, well, more than 1 year, 1 year, 15 months on, and we're still seeing the war in Ukraine. So at the last General Assembly in Berlin in last November, our General Assembly took the decision to suspend the National Paralympic Committees of Russia and Belarus. So at the moment, they are suspended. They cannot enter athletes in any IPC sanctioned competition. So if the situation remains the same, this of course means that they will not be able to enter athletes in the Paris Games, for example. But we will have another General Assembly, an ordinary one, because the last one was an extraordinary one in Bahrain in September, late September, where the membership will once again discuss the situation, and then there are multiple options. They can lift the suspension, they can keep the suspension, they can make decisions specifically on the Paris Games. So let's see, we have until late September, status quo is they remain suspended. So that we have to see what our membership, so meaning the General Assembly of the IPC, will decide in late September.
But athletes have to qualify to participate at the Paralympics. So will Russia and Belarus, or athletes from Russia and Belarus, at all be able to compete in the Paralympic Games, even if their return to the Paralympic sport is decided in September?
Yeah, in for Paris, for example, we have 22 sports in the program. Four of them are governed by the IPC. So in these sports, they cannot enter athletes. In athletics, swimming, powerlifting, and shooting. So they are not participating internationally of any event on those sports. On the remaining 18 sports, these sports are governed by international federations. And different international federations have different, let's say, policies, or they have made different decisions on that situation. You have, for example, World Triathlon announced the other day that they will allow Russian Belarusian athletes to compete as neutrals, while the FEI in the question, they will not allow Russian Belarusian athletes, and so on and so forth. So, you know, in some sports, Russian and Belarusian athletes will be taking part in the qualification process. And then if they are allowed to compete at the Paris Games, they will have, let's say, qualified or not via those processes under the International Federation, criteria, calendar, and decisions on this regard. When it comes to, but of course, it can be the case that they will be, let's say, according to the International Federation, they will be qualified to the Games, but then the IPC takes a decision that they will not be competing at the Games. So for the moment, in many sports, in some sports they can participate, in some other sports they cannot. And let's see what our General Assembly, what decision will be taken in late September. It's a very complicated situation. Fortunately, it's not a normal situation. It's a very exceptional one. No doubt that Russian athletes from Belarus, they are facing challenges in this current cycle. But again, so are the athletes from Ukraine. So let's see what our General Assembly will decide.
But in the world of Paralympic sports, you're very well connected. How do you follow the discussion of that matter in the National Paralympic Committees? Is there any movement of NPCs that want to bring back Russia or Belarus, or how is this matter discussed?
Well, from the number of votes in our last General Assembly, you can see that it's not, let's say, a vast majority in terms of something that the decision was not taking, 80% against 10%. But in terms of, and different parts of the world have different views on the situation. So, but as far as we know, we are not seeing any movement, as you describe, of countries coming together to change, to keep the suspension. We know the position of the majority of the countries, of course, and it's up to them to, and it's also the countries and the international federations who vote in our General Assembly, as well as region organizations. So my understanding is, if nothing really changes in Ukraine and what is going on in Ukraine, I think the members will probably vote similar to what they have voted last time. But again, it's up to them to change their mind, to come with different proposals at our General Assembly. I don't want to speculate at different possibilities that we have. But again, we are a very democratic and transparent organization. It's a decision that is going to be taken by members. But as you mentioned, like a kind of an organized movement, no, we don't see that. In both ways, I mean, we don't see an organized group of countries coming together to say things like, if Russia and Belarus compete, we will boycott, or the other way around, if they don't, we will boycott, or let's put pressure here and there. So I think the members are voting really in what they believe is the best for the Paralympic movement.
That's a different pass than the one that's followed by the IOC. There are plans, or they recommend, to reintegrate Russia and Belarusian athletes, at least at the Paralympic, at the Olympic sport, as long as they're not affiliated to the military and they condemn the war in Ukraine. What is your point of view on that decision or that recommendation? Is that a good way of reintroducing Russia and Belarus into the world of sports?
Well, we are different organizations, and sometimes we take different decisions, and we have different governance structures. So sometimes it happens that on the same topic we have different positions. In the past, for example, in the lead-up to Rio 2016, we took different decisions on Russia after the doping scheme of Sochi. So, you know, we have the IOC is our biggest partner, and we work very closely with them, and especially when it comes to the delivery of the Olympics and the Paralympics. But sometimes we have different approaches to different topics. So it's not for me to make comments on if this is what the IOC has decided is the best or not. They make decisions on the Olympic as the best decision or not. They make decisions on the Olympic movement. We make decisions on the Paralympic movement. Of course, I am an IOC member, I'm really aware of that. But you know, it was decisions. Some of the decisions taken now, they were taken by the executive board of the IOC, and they believe this is the best way for their movement. We have a different governance structure, for example, where our membership took the decision last November in Berlin, and they, our membership, believe that for the moment, at least, Russia and Belarus should not be an active member of the International Paralympic Committee. So, again, each movement, like even after the IOC, of course, we follow closely what is going on. And even after the IOC recommendation, some international federations, they took different decisions on the same topic. So I think it's part of democracy. We take different decisions. We have different views on situations, but we live together in working to promote sport around the world, or working together to deliver great games together.
Yeah, but the decision of the IOC, at least from the outside, it doesn't seem to be very democratic.
Well, everyone is entitled to your to the opinion. I think the IPC, the IOC follow their governance structure, which is the executive board. They make these decisions, and they, what they launched was a recommendation. So when it comes to democracy, they recommended something. Some IFs, and I gave the example of triathlon, they have adopted it, and some other IFs, and I gave the example of FBI, they did not. And that's fine, you know, but I think the IOC, as the umbrella organization for the Olympic movement, made a recommendation, but it's a recommendation. It's not a, you know, it's not something that they dictate over the IFs. And in our case, it's the same. We took our decision. The membership took our took their decision. No, they are the supreme decision making body of the IPC. But the IFs, they can do what they decide to do. But of course, when it comes to the games, we will make the decision. So, yeah, I think, you know, to be honest with you, I disagree. I believe it's democratic, but I also understand that many people does not like some of those decisions, and they have the right to not like it and express that they don't like it.
If you come back to the Paralympic sports movement, it's often characterized as inclusive and very anti-discriminative. How does that go together with banning athletes from Russia and Belarus, actually because of their passport? Because that's some kind of discrimination too, isn't it?
Well, when the decision was taken in Beijing, it was to protect the integrity of that edition of the Paralympic Games. It would have been impossible to run those games with the presence of athletes from Russia and Belarus. That's very clear, and that's why we took the decision. The decision we took. Our membership, though, they believe that as long as the war is raging in Ukraine, and this was the, let's say, the motivation for many of them vote against the participation of athletes from Russia and Belarus, is because they believe if the participation of Ukrainian athletes is in jeopardy, and Russia and Belarus are the ones causing that, that they have to, at the same time, have that has to have some consequences. Also, the fact that there was a breach to the Olympic truce exactly in the lead up to the Paralympics. So that's, you know, different members have different views, but it's not a discrimination based on counters that come from here and from there. We were very firm as the IPC to not allow that to happen. For example, when we withdrew World Championship of Swimming from Malaysia in 2019, when it was clear that they would not allow Israeli athletes to compete there. And this was a decision taken 6 months prior to the major world championships, and it was not easy to find another host. But we believe that, and the membership believes, that this situation here is, you know, it's of a magnitude that they needed to be suspended, both the National Paralympic Committees of Russia and Belarus.
It's often said that sports is not politics, so that's actually not true. Sports is politics.
Well, people have different views on that. I think in the world that we live today, unfortunately, it's very difficult to not mix politics in any in everything. And of course, when you have a war, and a war of that magnitude that is going on for 1 year, and the consequence that this war is having on the world as a whole, it has an impact on sport, as it has an impact in different areas that we will normally not think that politics will have an impact on. But I think it's the consequences of the world we live in today, where everything is so interconnected and we live in a globalized world. So to believe now that sport do not be affected by politics. Unfortunately, we do not live in that world anymore.
In 2016, Russia was banned from the Paralympic Games in Rio de Janeiro because of their state-organized doping. Now, the World Anti-Doping Agency has reintegrated the RUSADA, the Russian Anti-Doping Agency, and rehabilitated the Russian anti-doping system. Is the doping scandal over now?
Well, we made our decision in a few years ago when we had suspended the Russian Paralympic Committee on the steps that they needed to fulfill in order to come back to the Paralympic movement as any other National Paralympic Committee. You may remember that they competed in Tokyo and in Pyeongchang. So to say that that is over, it depends. When it comes to the fulfillment of those steps, I think, yes, they have fulfilled everything that we have set up as a pathway for their return to the Paralympic community after the doping scandal. But of course, we have to keep an eye open as we do with any country that has a major doping scandal. But what I would like to say is that the Russian Paralympic Committee has been, since they were suspended a few years ago, really collaborative and really trying to not only fulfill the steps, but really reshape their anti-doping policy in their territory. And it's been proven quite effective. And so I think they came a long way when it comes to anti-doping. Unfortunately, now they have this new situation that has nothing to do with doping, but it's affecting the same country. And let's see if this will have any complication also when it comes to anti-doping procedures and policies, and of course the testing of Russian athletes and athletes from Belarus, because of course the situation is not easy in that part of the world.
So if not for the war in Ukraine, athletes from Russia would be able to compete at the Paralympic Games under their own flag and with their own national anthem again?
Well, this is a decision that we as a board will still have to make. So I cannot tell you yes or no on this question, because we didn't get to that point due to the war. We didn't get to the point of analyzing and making decisions on let's say on the position if they will be able to compete as Russia, let's say in the games now in Paris.
In Germany, there are currently discussions whether or not Germany should apply for Olympic Games 2036, for example, in Berlin. And as you mentioned, the Paralympic Games are often held in the same place. What do you think about that? Should Germany apply for Olympic and Paralympic Games in Berlin?
Well, I always try to encourage every nation and every city to bid for the games if it makes sense for them. And I do believe that for Germany it makes a lot of sense to host the games. Of course, it's up to the German authorities, population, the NOC and the NPC to discuss and think the vision that they have for these games. What do they want as a nation to get out of this game? So it's not only about putting a credible sport event together, which I'm absolutely sure Germany can do, whether it's in Berlin, whether it's in the other parts of Germany. I'm absolutely sure the expertise is there, no doubt about it. It's about what Germany wants from those games. So I always ask, what do you like to see from after the closing ceremony of the Paralympics in 2036? How the sport environment in Germany will look like in terms of the Paralympic? How would hosting Paralympics in Germany would help to improve the lives of persons with disability in Germany? So I think it makes perfect sense. Of course, we have some conversations about that with German sport authorities. I am a member of the IOC Future Host Commission for Summer Games, so I cannot really speculate a lot more much about it, but I do think it makes a lot of sense. And I have seen some, let's say, interesting initiatives in Germany. So, and I know there are more cities that would like to host, and this is up to German sport movement and the authorities to decide what city we will end up beating, if any city we will end up beating. But again, I think it makes a lot of sense. I see a lot of potential for change by hosting the games in 2036.